listening to Earth Oddity, a weekly odyssey into all the oddity planet Earth has to offer. And now, serving it up are Christopher Tiny Sullivan and John Wong.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Earth Oddity Podcast. I'm Tiny. Sitting across from me is the one and only Shaman of Odd himself, John Long. How are you doing, John Long?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I would like the audience to know that I paused my game of Pal World to be here.
Thomas is playing Pal World.
Don't take it for granted. That is, like, okay, look, I don't have a wide history of drug use. What would you say is the most addictive drug in the world?
Oh, I mean, crack has got meth.
I mean, yeah. I was gonna say meth and crack are kind of like the go-to.
Yeah.
If crack or meth was a video game, it would be Pal World.
I don't remember why I had the occasion to go in Thomas's room, but he was playing. So I was like, hey, what are you playing? He's like, Pal World. And I was like, dude, I know about it. I was like, Tiny plays that game. And he was like, yeah, it's like knockoff Pokemon or something. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what Tiny said, mixed with Fortnite. And
he was like, yeah. Pokemon is basically what they did. Well, all the things that you never want, that you always wanted to do. Pokemon is a cutesy game for kids.
Right.
But once you grow up, you kind of realize, hey, these are kids that are catching animals and like forcing them to fight. Like Michael Vick.
What's wrong with that? Do they want to be great NFL quarterbacks?
Well, Pal World actually has a very kind of dark undertone where they're just kind of, yeah, that's what this game is.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. You build a base and you can, what's the word I'm looking for? You can put your conquered pals to work for you in like your little work camp. I named mine Palcatraz.
That's pretty good.
And every
it's
now
better than Pauschwitz.
Pauschwitz is my other work camp. Yeah, and every now and again they'll get depressed, and you can either get some medicine and make them better, or you can take them out back and butcher them for meat.
That's when you send them to Pauschwitz.
And you're like, hey, all you other guys, you want a break? This is what happens when you take too long a break.
That is kind of dark.
No.
Well,
it's incredible.
You had a birthday?
Oh, yeah, I did.
I mean, what a way to kick off Black History Month.
With my birthday.
With your birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm honored that my birthday falls in Black History Month.
Well, noted black man, Tiny Sullivan.
I was not so lucky to be born black. But, yeah.
Well,
I tell you, a black man invented peanut butter. So
absolutely,
that alone,
yeah,
it justifies Black History Month.
You talk about George Washington Carver,
yeah,
at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama,
yeah,
yeah, right. George Washington Carver, great man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard his like story of, you know, he was rescued basically and by a white family when he was an infant. They were gonna like, I think.
It was like
for
the
dead
blind
or something.
Side.
Yeah.
But he was an inventor and not like a
he wasn't
tackle.
A left tackle.
Yeah.
Nick Saban never went to his house. Yeah. It was a story kind of like that. I can't remember all the details. I read a book one time on it, probably in sixth grade. And yeah, it's an amazing story. George Washington Carver is the man. Yeah.
Smart dude.
Yeah. Not only for inventing peanut butter, but just for all the other stuff he did, all the uses he found for peanuts. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's awesome. So, yeah, happy Black History Month and happy birthday.
Thank you.
In that order. Yeah.
How was your week?
Man, I don't even want to get into it.
Oh, okay.
It was something else.
Well, what stories do you have this week?
Okay.
We can get into that.
Yes. I got a McDonald's story.
Okay.
I'm your source for McDonald's news. We're going to talk about a missing tower and a very liberal merchandise return.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a story about a Vancouver Ronin. I have a story about a woman who fell into a dumpster, but I was going to start with this one. Elon Musk. Apparently, some Tesla board members have reportedly felt pressured to use drugs with Elon Musk.
Okay.
Which I imagine him... you know, he's like the cool kid, he's sure. got his glasses. He's like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you just saying? No, be cool.
All the cool kids are doing it. Yeah. All the CEOs are doing it.
This comes from Market Watch. Some Tesla Incorporated board members felt pressured to take drugs with the chief executive Elon Musk for fear of upsetting him if they did not partake, the Wall Street Journal reported Sunday. In a report following up on a January Washington Post story that detailed his alleged use of illegal drugs and executives and board members' concerns for the health of Musk and his companies, the Journal on Sunday detailed the deep personal and financial ties that bind Tesla directors to the company and to Musk, including joint vacations, parties, and large investments in each other's companies. According to the Journal, most of Tesla's directors have earned stock options worth hundreds of millions of dollars during their board terms, significantly more than board members at other companies. The report cited experts in corporate governance as having said such close ties could interfere with board members' independence. Journal reported. Report also indicated that some current and former board members at Tesla and SpaceX have direct knowledge of his drug use, but have not moved to address it. I mean, I suppose if my boss did, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the board together. He's not really their boss, right?
I mean, I thought he was. Is that not how it works? He's familiar with corporate America than
he's the chairman of the board. So, okay. I mean, I assume technically, but there's not that much separation, I wouldn't think, you know?
But also, this is Elon Musk. Like, he could just decide, you know what? You know, F this company. I'm dumping all my stock.
Yeah, right.
And going to crash the stock price.
I volunteer to be on this board. If they're having trouble,
I'll keep your secrets.
Yeah, dude. Me and you will have a great time together.
You know what those other board members sound like? Narcs.
Exactly.
You need to get less narcs in the boardroom.
You said they made $100 million. I'm in it. Give me anything you want.
According to the Journal, the volume of Musk and some board members' drug use, which reportedly has included cocaine, ecstasy, LSD, mushrooms, and prescription ketamine, wow.
Sure.
Sounds like a good time.
Why not?
Has become particularly concerning. Some of his friends and company directors perceive an expectation to use drugs at parties he attends, the Journal said, feeling pressure not to refuse since he's made them so much money and out of a desire to remain in his good graces. The Journal reported that Oracle Corp, co-founded by Larry Ellison, a friend of Musk and former Tesla board member, offered use of his Hawaiian island to Musk in 2022 for relaxation and detox purposes. Around the same time, other friends reportedly urged him to enter rehab. In a series of tweets late Sunday, the former Twitter, which Musk acquired 16 months ago and suddenly renamed X last summer, he mocked the Wall Street Journal and said, "No one has ever mentioned rehab to me." Board members at Twitter have taken no public actions to rein in Musk's apparent drug use.
Wow.
It goes on. Let's see. NASA said last month they have seen no evidence of drug use at SpaceX, according to Bloomberg News. And Musk lawyer told the Journal in January that the CEO has never failed a drug test. So,
well, yeah,
I have no idea what's going on. I will say this. I do not know. I have no idea. Musk has never called me up and asked me to go party with him.
Oh, I can't believe he hadn't. You're his number one fan.
I will say this. When you're at the top, there's always going to be someone trying to take you down.
Yeah.
So it could be that it could all be 100% true, and it could be someone trying to wrestle Tesla away from him. So who knows?
Why does he have to take a drug test?
That's a good question. I was thinking the same thing. Like, he is in charge of the company. Now, he could just say, hey, I'm exempt from the drug test.
At our company, we random drug tests, and everyone's eligible from the president to me on down, and we random test every month. So the president has been called, you know, to go take a test before. And I mean, that happens, but I would imagine if you're Elon Musk, you just be like, I'm not doing, this is for everyone below us. I don't know. There may be some laws against that, though. Like, if we're going to test, everybody's got tests. I have no idea.
Elon Musk might would be like, well, yeah, I'll take your stupid test, but I'm going to fail it. Yeah,
right. Yes. That's what I used to tell people, you know, like, if you don't think you can pass this, just let me know before we pay $45 for you to do that.
Right.
Like when we hire them and stuff. We had well, never mind. I don't want to tell that story. A little bit of inside baseball.
Let me ask you this. What do they do in certain states where, which, okay, look, there's a plethora of drugs.
Sure.
And people, I mean, we listed off like his shopping list earlier of all the stuff that he was allegedly
right
into. But some states have now legalized marijuana.
Right.
So if you take a test at a Walmart, mm-hmm, trying to get hired in Colorado or whatever, is that going to count against you?
I wouldn't think that it would, because it's a legal substance. Unless, I think it's the company's discretion, right, really, though.
Because, I mean, it's still illegal, yeah, federally.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like, if you have a medical prescription for it, it's, mm-hmm, probably treated like any other. You know, people can take a drug test now who are on opioids, but they have back surgery and they're taking pain pills. So that's everybody in Alabama.
Right.
But, and so it doesn't count against them because they have a prescription. Usually, mm-hmm, you show up with your prescription and go, hey, I'm about to take this test. Here's what I take. You know,
right.
And it's not an issue. So, but I would think if the company is like, well, we're going to abide by federal laws, you could still get barred from hiring.
Hmm.
I would imagine that, even though it's legal for recreational use. But they may say, hey, it's legal for recreational use, and if you test positive for it, it's not a big deal. Come on in, you know. I don't know. So,
I have no idea.
Yeah. But I hate it for Elon. I mean, it sounds like I heard, where did I see this? I may have saw it on Twitter. That he was going to take this like exorbitant payday, and some court in Connecticut was,
yeah,
like,
I saw that. They were like, no, you can't have that, yeah, money or whatever.
That doesn't seem right to me.
I mean, I don't know the details,
yeah,
of it, but
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the details of it either. But it seemed like you could get paid what you want to get,
yeah,
paid.
Yeah, I was under the impression. I mean, of course, John would be a big fan of huge paychecks going to the top.
Well, he's invested a lot of money into this company. He, yeah, should be able to make something off of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree. But again, I don't know the details of this, of the particular case. That said, yeah, I was under the impression that companies could pay,
yeah,
whoever, whatever,
right,
so long as they weren't in some kind of violation of like shareholders' expectations or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's kind of what I figured too.
Yeah.
And maybe that was what the ruling is.
Maybe that's like, what it is. I don't know.
You know,
I remember years ago, remember when was the Ford and, or did Ford say they didn't? The automakers, they were wanting a bailout.
Yeah, Ford didn't get the bailout.
Did they not get it or did they not want it?
I think they just declined.
Like, I remember,
the offer.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they were like, no, we're good, guys.
Yeah, hey, guys, no, we're fine.
But was it Chrysler and GMC, yeah, and Chevrolet?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we need a big payday.
Yeah, let us have it.
And then President Obama was like, well, yeah, but you're not gonna get this money if you keep paying these, you know, multi-million-dollar,
right,
bonuses to your CEOs. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that
that's,
makes sense.
Does it, though?
Well, I remember conservatives were mad, like, hey, they can, you know, pay whoever, right, they, but as a citizen, I'm like, hey, that's my money.
Sure.
That's my money you're giving that dude.
Here's the point. We shouldn't have bailed him out.
Exactly.
But,
agreed. If you don't want the president telling your,
yeah,
your what people what they can get, what they can and can't get paid, well, then don't take their money.
Yeah. Now, that's a good point.
Yes.
Also, it's their money, too. They pay taxes as well. They should have some discretion in how they spend it. So, whatever. You know me, old corporate John here. Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about my favorite company, Tiny, McDonald's.
Nice.
McDonald's CEO promises affordability amid backlash over $18 Big Mac combos and $6 hash browns.
I'm shocking that he would promise that. I'd like to hear some more details on what he means by that.
Well, a $18 Big Mac combo in the regular around here. I don't get a Big Mac combo, but I don't think that would be what it is here, right?
No. That's what we were talking about before we started recording. We were like, surely this is regional.
These
because
are probably,
I've never been.
Yeah.
The only time I paid $18, it was like the Big Mac bundle. Well, it was like two Big Macs and 20 chicken nuggets.
Oh.
And like two large fries and two drinks. And like we got it.
The family pack.
We got it for the family. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think this would be in like cities that have or states that have a higher minimum wage.
Like Washington, D.C.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or just a higher cost of living.
Right. The Chicago-based fast food behemoth, which has lately taken heat over a Big Mac combo meal priced nearly at $18, said its global same store sales in the latest quarter had grown just 3.4%, falling short of the 4.7% growth Wall Street had expected. It's Biden's America. The lackluster quarter, which the company also blamed on conflict in the Middle East that has slammed franchises overseas, sent McDonald's shares on the New York Stock Exchange tumbling nearly 4% to $285.97 at Monday's close. I think what you're going to see as you head into 2024 is probably more attention to what I would describe as affordability, McDonald's chief executive Chris Kempczinski said on a Monday earning call with an analyst. In particular, low-income customers making less than $45,000 a year have largely stopped ordering from McDonald's. Pummeled by inflation, they're eating at home more frequently as grocery prices come down, he admitted. Eating at home has become more affordable. The battleground is certainly with that low-income customer. Despite the uproar, McDonald's customers should brace for even more price hikes this year, albeit at a slower pace of 2 to 3% versus last year's 10% restaurant analyst Mark Kalinowski. It's like all Polish people in this article. McDonald's attempts at affordability will likely take the form of targeted deals offered on its mobile app, he predicts. App discounts will be a big part of their arsenal. Last week, a McDonald's outpost in Connecticut got slammed over its outrageous pricing after a customer was charged $7.29 for an Egg McMuffin.
Golly.
And nearly $5.69 for a side of hash browns. So what's that, $13 for breakfast? That's
crazy.
That's tough.
I know. Which, I mean, everything is going up. We've all seen this, right? Yeah. We all know about it. We're all complaining about it.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, it's just still, I get that he's pointing out that, hey, look, our prices have gone up, but not to the rate of inflation.
Right.
That said, it's still.
Over the summer, a franchise in nearby Darien, Connecticut, was called out for charging $17.59 for a Big Mac combo meal. That location also sold a quarter pounder with cheese and bacon meal that came with fries and a soda for, you want to guess?
$10.
$19.
Golly.
Now, I want to say I'm fair and balanced. Everybody knows I love McDonald's, but I'm going to talk about McDonald's if they need to be talked about. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the kind of journalism you get from this podcast. And that is outrageous. Now, both of those examples were in Connecticut. I'm about to Google what the minimum wage is in Connecticut. Okay. On January 1st, 2024, the minimum wage in Connecticut rose to $15.69 per hour.
All right. So. Yeah.
So that's got something to do with it, too.
Right.
Right.
It's like, I mean, we're talking about the minimum wage here. But
don't get me started on the minimum wage.
Well, I was going to say, this is true just for wages in general.
Yeah.
You know, inflation goes up, wages goes up, inflation goes up more, wages goes up more.
Right.
It's this never-ending...
Yeah,
game
cycle.
Of tag.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why we shouldn't have a minimum wage at all mandated and let it just set it, the market set itself, right?
Well,
I know Union Tiny is never going to go for that move.
Because look, capitalism, I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism. Yeah. I think, as you have pointed out, it has risen more people out of poverty than anything else that we've tried.
Right.
That said, it's not perfect.
Definitely.
And let's
not.
Let's not act like capitalism has no blood on its hands either.
No. Yeah. Definitely.
And so when there is no minimum wage, it's I can potentially see situations where we go back to, you know, 14-year-old kids in the mines.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong? All they're doing is playing Pow World or whatever the heck it is.
John wants Pow World in real life.
They play Minecraft all the time. They yearn for the mines, Tiny. That's what they want.
Yeah.
They want to be mining. Yes. I'm being somewhat facetious by mm-hmm. it, but I do find it comical. And everybody's like, we need to raise, you know, the minimum wage. What is it federally? $7.25 an hour?
Yeah.
I know what it is. I don't know why I asked that question. People were like, that's not a livable wage. You know, these people need $15 an hour to live. And I'm always like, well, why not give them $50 an hour? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, because then that's going to be too much. And you're like, well, how do you arbitrarily decide $15 isn't too much?
Right.
You know, you don't know what a business owner is going through. Mm-hmm. You know what kind of impact that has on them. And then that's just going to be passed on to the consumer and eat up a portion of that wage increase they've gotten. And more taxes for the government. So just think about it. I'm not anti-minimum
wage.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think the answer is to just make, you know, make people live on IOUs to the company store.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a single shot solution
Absolutely. Yeah.
Number one would be controlling inflation. That's one way we could control wage prices. Like you said.
How do you control inflation? You put the currency back on the gold standard and take away the government's ability to just print money out of thin air.
I have no problem with that.
I agree to your terms. That would be a good start.
Yeah, I agree to your terms. Yeah, I think.
Just imagine a world, and humanity used to live in this world, John. Yeah. Imagine a world where the government had to think to themselves, you know what? As much as I want to go bomb that country, I don't think we got the money to do it.
I think that would be a great thing.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Or that country's getting bombed. We don't have enough money to give them a lot.
Yeah.
We might can give them some. We'll get all the school kids to put together first aid boxes and send over there, all, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we can't come out a couple $1 billion for you right now. I don't think that's wrong, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm a selfish person.
Because the way the situation is now,
yeah,
it's just like, hey, we'll
worry about this later. That's really all it is.
And it's really not even us we're worrying about it later. It's our grandchildren who are going to be worrying about this later.
That's all it is. It's like, hey, we're just going to worry about this later.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, I mean, I think controlling inflation, which I read an article this week and heard from a very reliable source. They're going to start cutting interest rates again. So that's
I've been following that. Yeah.
That may or may not be the best thing that can happen. But I mean, just from personal experience, if you call about CD rates right now, they ain't wanting to give you no 5-year terms at mm-hmm. with any good rate because they're expecting them to fall too. So just, you know, for whatever that's worth, if you got to borrow some money, get ready. The time's coming. You know, if you want to buy a house or whatever, the time's coming. But
which, I mean, also, that's not set in stone.
No.
Like, I mean, all this hinges on
very fluid.
The CPI comes out as and what, you know, inflation rate is.
Yeah. Job numbers, everything.
But I mean, the economy, it's almost like the economy is calling their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like wages have continued to rise as inflation is going up,
right?
And it seems like it's just, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they come down, what John and Deidre Long will be doing, and by me, Deidre, not me, is we'll be borrowing at a lower rate and paying off that car Hutz has gotten and paying that back.
Yes.
All right. We'll just go get a non-secured loan and do that. So, yeah, because, you know, interest is not great. I mean, I'm not Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. By any means, I think if you can borrow money, that's not a bad thing, you know, and paying a little extra interest back for that privilege is fine.
Yeah. I'm not a financial guru.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah. Right.
That said, we are not are we're not growing up in our grandparents' right. America. Like back in the day, you could save your money and your money would be fine.
Right.
Because the government just didn't print it up to oblivion.
Exactly.
These days, like they try to maintain an inflation rate of 2%. That means if you save your money, you're losing 2% a year.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense to save money because that money that you're saving is not going to be worth as much in the long term as it would if you were trying to buy other stuff. You know?
Sure. Now, I don't think it's smart to take your credit card and run up a bunch of debt and then have to pay 17% interest on it.
Agreed. That makes no sense.
But if you can borrow money at, 4% and get a decent return on it or be able to pay that back, I think that's an acceptable thing to do. You know, I I'm not Dave Ramsey. He would hate me. I emailed him once. Did I tell you that? Oh man, this is why I don't like Dave Ramsey. I emailed him when everything was crashing and burning at the restaurant. And I was just like,
Hail Mary pass.
I was looking for help from anybody. If Mr. Beast had been around then, I would have emailed him too. And it was just like, hey, Dave, here's my situation. This is my debt that I owe to a private, personal loan stuff. This is my debt. I'm trying to figure out the best way to get out of this and not lose the things that are important, like my family and my house, and never heard back from him. So,
I mean, I'm sure he gets emails like that.
But none of them were as special as mine. Okay. None of them were. And from that day forward, when I didn't get an answer within the next 48 hours, I was like, I'm done with Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
I'll never go to Financial Peace University. I'll be in financial turmoil for the rest of my life to spite him. And that's been me. Yeah.
Yeah. Our churches, they've been advertising a financial Peace University. I'm a graduate. I don't need to go.
You gonna go back and get your master's?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, just look around, see how beneficial
look,
this has been.
I'm gonna tell you what, Tiny, you're living in Belle Meade on a single income here. You got it figured out, bud. Don't give yourself a hard time. You got it figured out. Yeah. You're doing great.
Well, I mean, I'm doing better than the majority of the world.
Sure.
I'll say that.
Now, but Dave probably wouldn't have recommended getting back into a 30-year mortgage when you probably only had 10 left on your other house.
No, I knew that was a bad idea. Yeah.
But you built up enough equity, I'm sure it made it worthwhile.
I don't know if I'd say that.
And the rates were real good. The rates were excellent.
We sold at a very opportune time.
Right.
But I feel like Tara talked, her and her daddy talked me into buying a coffin because I was paying my house payment just the other day and I logged on and you know what my last payment is?
What's that?
My 70th birthday.
Oh, don't even worry about that. Payment. Look, you're looking at this all wrong, buddy. Just that money's gone,
Oh, it's gone. Yeah don't absolutely.
Worry. Don't worry about that. Your kids will inherit that debt. That's fine. They can sell the house, whatever equity you got in it, they'll divide it among the two of them, you know? Yeah, don't worry about that. We're going to sell this house eventually, and we'll get into another one. We'll be paying that off when we're 90. Who cares? Who cares? It'll be fine. I got a life insurance policy that should take care of it, so we'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids can sell it or live in it or do whatever they want to with it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, nothing to worry about. It's just money. You can't take it with you.
No, but I tell you what, if I could do anything in life that I wanted, it would not be working a rotating shift in a wheel mill.
No, I got you.
With all due respect, it would be nice if I could find another way.
Now, look, I got a great job, and I love my job. And I'm not just saying that because Shane occasionally listens, and he might listen to this. But if he is, it's helping me out, too. I really do love my job, but if I had my choice, I wouldn't work at all. I would be independently
absolutely,
wealthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to do anything. Like, you've seen Office Space before? He's like, yeah, I just don't want to do
dream,
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dream's not to do anything.
I would just play Pal World.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would sit around and watch meaningless sports games. I would watch like a Tuesday night Big East college basketball game I have no rooting interest in. Mm-hmm. I don't even bet on them, and I still like watching that stuff. That'd be all I do. Just get fat and sassy and watch sports 24/7. Yeah. That'd be my life.
Is it my turn?
I think so.
Okay. Woman tossing trash falls into a dumpster, survives getting compacted in trash garbage truck.
Oh, wow. In the back of it?
Yeah. Apparently she survived, but yeah, she got squished in there. I thought, does OSHA not have like a whole laundry list of rules to keep this from happening?
Huh. Well, I guess if she was just like, you know, a crackheaded in the dumpster, they don't have to, the garbage men don't have to go look in the dumpster, do they, before they dump it in there?
I bet they will now.
Yeah, probably so. When this lawsuit finishes
thanks,
up.
Thanks, lady. Yeah.
When this lawsuit finishes up, probably
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's not like yeah. I didn't have enough to do.
Well, you know who, doesn't SBD drive a trash truck?
Oh, I don't know.
We have an expert in this field, okay. I think he drives a trash truck.
Interesting.
Coolest job in the world. I always want to do that. That may be what I would do if I was independently wealthy.
I never saw men at work. I need to watch.
Oh, you never
that.
Seen men at work?
It's been on my to watch list,
man,
for decades
that
now.
That movie is hilarious. Yes, that movie's so fun.
All right. This comes from Manchester, New Hampshire. A woman fell into a dumpster while throwing out her garbage and was later rescued from a trash truck that had compacted the contents while she was inside, fire department officials in New Hampshire said. I remember this happened to Ernest P. Worrell one time. And Ernest scared stupid.
I love Ernest.
Those were some under, I mean, okay, look, they kind of got more and more far-fetched
sure.
and ridiculous as
right.
the series went on.
Yeah, well, that's
Ernest,
how Hollywood is.
Yeah, Slam Dunk Ernest was not the film that Ernest Goes to Jail was.
No. Ernest Goes to Jail is one of the funnier movies ever made, I think. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Luckily, neighbors heard her screams, and the trash compartment was equipped with a camera. The driver spotted the woman stuck inside and called 911. By then, the driver had reportedly compacted the garbage up to 4 times.
Golly.
Dang. She's just in there getting pounded.
Golly. Sounds dirty, but it's not. Yeah, they hear in the back, like,
I bet it sounded like Ernest, and Ernest scared stupid. Rescuers used a basket ladder to reach the top of the truck and lift her out. By then, she was standing, talking, yelling, but was not alert enough to answer questions, the news release said.
Now, wait a minute. She was standing, talking, and yelling, but not alert enough to answer questions?
Yeah, she was just back there, I guess, just going crazy.
She's probably cussing them out. I've been hollering for 4 blocks now.
Well, hey, what'd you get in there for? Yeah, like it's her fault.
Yeah. Like, hello, lady, we didn't know you were in there. No one gets in a dumpster.
Do you not see this big, giant warning sign right here?
She's like, look, they have a whole thing called dumpster diving.
The woman was taken to hospital after Monday's misadventure. Her name was not released. In 32 years, I've never seen anything like this in my whole career, Battalion Chief Bob Badeau told WMUR-TV. It's alarming because you don't think it's really true. So,
well,
wow, man.
That's scary.
It really is.
Can you imagine? You know, I assume she may have been homeless or something, mm-hmm. or like a hooker who got dumped in there, something like that.
Her pimp didn't finish the job.
Yeah, right. He thought she was dead. Some serial killer thought she was dead. Yeah. You throw her in. She gets in the dumpster somehow, and then you get dumped in it. If that's not bad enough, you
right.
know, she's probably asleep.
Like being in the dumpster
yeah.
is pretty bad.
Right.
But then the dumpster's going to kill you.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you get dumped into the back of the trash truck and you're like, well, you know, like whatever. Maybe she's sleeping off a heroin run or something. And then you wake up, you're in the back of a trash truck and you're like, well, at least I'm still alive. And those walls start coming in.
Dang.
That is horrible.
I mean, that should be a wake up call, right?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, I don't know what this lady's situation is. Maybe she really was just Look, put her trash in the dumpster and somehow fell in.
I doubt she's like the president of a bank or anything. I mean, just playing the odds here. I'm pretty confident in saying she's made some poor choices in her life, or circumstances have led her to be in a situation where she found herself in a dumpster. Yeah.
Getting compacted.
Yeah, that's rough.
Man.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the mechanics of a trash truck. I got a buddy who works. He like maintains them for waste management. Mm-hmm. He's a mechanic on them. Maybe I need to call him in as an expert. But
I mean, I hope there was a lot of paper products getting thrown away that day.
Sure. Right. Maybe
if you imagine
there's
a whole bunch of like glass bottles just getting ground into her.
Oh, man. Oh, that hurts to think about. It made my eyes water. Yeah, that's I couldn't imagine it.
Man.
What is it? It's in Star Wars where they're in a little compactor thing, right?
There was a monster in there with them, too.
That's true. What if there's a monster in the back of the trash truck? Yeah.
What if the trash truck driver, whoever it was, he heard those screams? He's just like, nope, not today.
He's like, look, I got to get off. My kids got a little league game. Nobody heard anything.
Man.
If she makes it to the dump, then she lives. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I imagine in places like New York City or, you know, big cities, mm-hmm. you occasionally probably run somebody's dumping a dead body in a dumpster, right?
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Who was that guy several years back that killed his wife and they were searching the landfill for her because it was believed that
he had put her
in some kind of big chest thing.
Right.
And then like put it on the side of the road and the trash truck guy.
Yeah, picked it up. Yeah, I don't know. Which if I was I'm such a pack rat. If I was a trash guy, like anytime I'm putting stuff out on the curb, I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to pass this off if I was a trash guy. I'd be like, I got to get this.
Yeah.
I mean, calling my friends, hey, come down here and pick this up in Bell Mead Circle. You know, they got a great mattress laying out here, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I couldn't do it. I'm just that way. Huh. I see all kind of stuff people throw away and I want to stop, but I know Dieter would get mad at me.
I was about to say, these mic stands we got here,
yeah,
they come from the side of the road.
Right off the side of the road. They work just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope this lady turns it around. Like you say, I hope this is a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I say, I doubt she's a Mensa member, but she could be. And accidentally fell into a dumpster. Maybe she was trying to parkour and it just didn't go right for her.
If this lady is a Mensa member and she got trapped in here, I think they should revoke her membership.
My thing is, like, she had to be like on heroin or something and crawled in there, you know, maybe it was raining or whatever, and passed out. Because you would think when you heard the truck back up and put mm-hmm. his little skids underneath the thing, you'd go ahead and pop your head out immediately and be like, hey, everybody, whoa.
Yeah, I don't think they make those things very quiet.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Like, they're not worried about the noise those things make.
The first apartment Dieter and I had when we got married, they emptied the dumpster at like 3 o'clock in the morning, morning. And it was the loudest racket in the world. And, you know, like, you can't get mad at them because you're like, well, they're just doing their job.
Right.
And they can't control the fact that their truck has a backup beeper on it that has the amplification of a jet engine and they're banging stuff around. I mean, but it was very frustrating. There were many nights where I was like, I would like to shoot someone.
I mean, the only thing louder than those things are those little plastic containers they put cakes in at the bakery.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, let's bring it on home here to Alabama. This comes from wirelessestimator.com.
Okay.
Now, my good friend, I don't know if he listens to the show or not, Jonathan, posted this in our Facebook group. I saw it not long before I came over here. So shout out to Jonathan, great American, Navy veteran, roly-poly veteran, works at the VA now, great dude. Vandals walk off with a 200-foot AM broadcast tower. And this is from Walker County, Alabama.
They just walked off with it.
On Friday.
Surely it was a little more involved than that.
You never know. On Friday, Brett Elmore, owner of the WJLX radio, a non-directional AM station, went on Facebook and announced that someone had made off with this 200-foot tall guide tower from a site in Jasper, Alabama, that is located at the dead end near the sprawling Mac Jar or Marjack poultry plant.
Huh.
Wow. So it's down by the chicken plant. And somebody took a whole 200-foot tower.
So he's just one morning, he's getting up. I've got to roll the Alex Jones show. Sure. InfoWars. Well,
yes. Right.
Or whatever conservative.
Rush Limbaugh reruns.
Yeah, whatever conservative right media is he's going to play that day. And then he's like, oh, wait, I don't have an antenna.
I imagine he's like up at the house, making his coffee, cooking his bacon, cuts on the AM radio to listen to his station like he does every morning. It's just static. And he's like, something's wrong. He calls down there. Hey, Bob, it's static on this end. You got the switch cut on or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, everything's like it is every other day. And then the investigation starts. This morning, my bush hog crew went down to the tower site we have behind Marjack to do an early cleanup of the property before we did some more work down there. When he arrived, he called and notified me that not only was my building vandalized, but my 200-foot tower was gone, said Elmore. Elmore said the thieves stole every piece of equipment out of the building, cut the guy wires to the tower, and removed it from the property. Elmore requested that if anyone has any information regarding the theft, to contact the Jasper Police Department at 205-221-2121. You can ask them why people keep dying in a jail over there in Walker County, too. It's like an every week occurrence, it feels like. Elmore told Radio World Sunday evening that his engineers plan to file for a special temporary authority with the FCC today for a silent AM and to operate the FM transmitter on its own for the time being while the company decides its next step. Here's the part that hurts. The tower was not insured.
Ooh.
Which I would imagine you get to a point where you're like, why do we need insurance?
Yeah, who's going to steal a antenna? Yeah.
The only thing that's going to happen is a tornado. Right. You know?
And we've spent more on insurance than it would be just to replace the tower.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know. How much does an AM radio antenna cost?
I have no idea.
I'm sure it's not cheap, but is it really like, is this really going to like, you know,
crippling? Well, I would think the tower itself is going to be your most expensive. I think the antenna is just a little bit on the top than a coaxial cable running up it, you know? But the tower, to get it up that high to broadcast, is probably, that's a lot of steel.
Hmm.
And there's some meth heads right now in Walker County living it up.
I was about to say, what did they do with it?
You got to think they probably cut it down. Cut it up, hauled it off. It's probably behind a trailer somewhere in like Parrish or some town like that, which because I think Parrish is in Winston County technically.
Yeah,
I could
my
be
thought
wrong.
Was if they're going to scrap it, I mean, there's only so many scrap yards and they're none of them going to be like, hey, this is is this that missing AM antenna?
You think I'd just piece it out?
Are you the reason I can't get my Rush Limbaugh reruns in the morning?
I miss InfoWars. I would think maybe they're like, all right, we ran through this stash of meth. We need to get some more. Cut the leg off a tower. Let's go down to scrapyard with it, you know? And they're like, where'd you get this? Found it on the side of the road, buddy. And from the amount of catalytic converters that are stolen around Alabama and probably the whole United States, possibly North America, I don't think scrap yards are always on the up and up.
That's an excellent point. You know, you would think.
They're not asking too many questions.
I mean, catalytic converters, they come with like serial numbers and stuff, right?
I think they've only recently started putting like the VIN number on them. You know, like if they cut one off of your truck, it ain't on there.
Right.
But scrap yards by law aren't supposed to take them in unless you're like an approved vendor for them. But they take them in.
But, well, I was about to say, who's that? Who? How do you get approved?
Oh, I haven't.
And who's the approved
guy? I would imagine if you're like an auto repair place, you can apply to get a permit to do. It's probably some fee, you know, and then you can go take it down.
So
there.
Said meth head, he's just got to go to his cousin,
yeah,
Ronnie.
Right.
Hey, Ronnie, I got some more catalytic converters.
Yeah, I'll split the cost on it with you. Right. But they're stealing so many that there are scrap yards that are just like, we're going to get them and break them down and sell the metal before the cops ever even realize what's going on.
Right.
You know, that's how I envision it working. I've only been to maybe two scrap metal yards in my life. Both of them had a very shady feel to them. Just like, if you need to get rid of a dead body, leave it in the trunk of this old junk car. Bring it out here. We'll crush it up for you.
Right.
And then it'll be on a box car to somewhere else, to Nucor Steel or something, and it'll all get taken care of. I don't know. So, anyways.
Yeah, why didn't Steve Avery crush that one car?
Who's Steve Avery? Braves pitcher Steve Avery?
No,
Avery?
the Making a Murderer guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He had a junkyard.
He had a car crusher,
yeah.
And he... Why didn't he crush it?
Because he didn't kill her.
I think he did kill her.
I don't know if he did or if he didn't.
But
I know Brandon Dassey is too dumb to have been involved with anything intentionally. What they did to him was a miscarriage of justice. He just wanted to go watch WrestleMania. That's all he wanted to do. Yeah, I forgot about Making a Murderer. Yeah. That's a wild show.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, I mean, I don't know what happened. I think he's guilty. But like you said, Brendan Dassey, I'm not convinced that he's guilty.
Now, he may have been along for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, like he may have been there when it happened, but I don't think he was ever like, we need to kill this lady or, you know, or whatever. He's too dumb for all that.
He was 17, but when the cops interrogated him,
yeah.
I mean, they're not supposed to do that.
I don't think so.
And then, and they're like, come on, we know you killed her. We just need to know how you did it.
Yeah.
He's like, we cut her throat. Okay. Yeah. You cut her throat.
We cut her throat.
What else did you do? We know what you did.
Yeah.
We just want you to tell us.
Yeah. Have you ever read anything about how the police just coerce people into confessions all the time who never have done the crime, like weren't even on the scene?
Yeah,
and
false confessions is a thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people, you can, there's a lot of people. If you lock them in a room for 24 hours,
and
you just tell them something over and over and over, you can get them to confess something.
One of the big things they do to you, not that I know from firsthand experience, is they put you in a room and just leave you in there for a couple hours before they even ask you question number one.
Right.
And then you got all that time to think, and then you're already like self-doubt creeps in, like, what's going on? Why aren't they in here? And then they come in and hammer you.
And then they'll come in there and be like, well, maybe you didn't mean to.
Right.
That's not so bad. Look, we've all made mistakes.
Sure,
maybe you didn't mean to.
Everybody's killed a lady in a junkyard. We've all done it. Just tell me how you did it
and then
sign this paper.
And then they'll do this thing where they're like, hey, look. I'm your friend.
Uh-huh.
And if you just tell me what happened, we'll try to work this so that you don't get in a lot of trouble. But if you don't confess, I'm not going to be able to help
you.
And the gloves are going to come off and the judge is going to throw the book at you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're cooperating, we can help you out here.
Yeah.
They ain't the prosecutor. They ain't the judge. They ain't going to help you. Number one rule, don't ever talk to the police.
Yes. You don't have to.
Right.
So
you don't have
it.
To. Yes. Get a lawyer, and then you make a talk to them. But don't just start answering questions.
Mm-mm.
I get pulled over. I don't even answer questions.
I'm like a
sovereign citizen.
Which I'll say this. I mean, when I was 17 years old, they probably could have got me too. I mean.
Oh, yeah. They could get me now, you know? But I'm smart enough to know, like, look, I'm going to have to have a lawyer. As soon as they read me right.
Yeah, I was about to say lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you ask for a lawyer, we're not going to be able to. You're not here to help me.
Yeah, right.
When in the entire history of forever has the cops been out to help a suspect?
So, there was a shooting in town. You know, my buddies with the violent crimes unit. This has been a while ago. And they had the guy in the room, you know, pretty sure he did it, mm-hmm. to question him, read him his rights. He was like, I'm going to need a lawyer. Of course, they immediately are like, well, this is over with, you know. And the investigator turns around. He's like, okay, all right, well, certainly you're right. Turns around and walked out. And the kid was like, well, don't you want to know what happened? And the investigator was like, well, yeah, but I thought you said you needed a lawyer. He was like, well, yeah, I'm going to need a lawyer because I murdered some people.
Damn. What an idiot.
Yes. It's just a dummy.
I'm glad he's dumb. That, Tom Segura, I was watching one of his stand-ups. He was talking about the first 48.
Oh,
he was like, we love to watch the first 48. And they find somebody. They get a suspect. They're not sure they did it, but they get them in a room and they question them.
Yeah.
And people love to talk.
Absolutely.
He said, we've been watching this, like, you know, however many seasons ago. I think there's been twice the suspect said, hey, I'm not going to be able to talk. I need a lawyer. And that those episodes ended with such and such was released without more evidence.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's why they ask you when they pull you over, do you know how fast you're going? And, you know, everybody says a number, right. You know. You ain't got to say nothing.
Yeah, you have a radar gun.
Yeah.
You tell me,
buddy. I was like, I don't know. I'm not answering questions.
I was going 7.
Yeah.
I was 7 you know, miles an hour.
A good thing is, like, I'm not comfortable answering that question.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, you have to answer it. Well, I don't think I do.
I've also been told, I've been advised that It's a good policy, just as a policy, not to submit to
searches.
Absolutely. Never submit to a search.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. And someone may say, well, I don't have anything to hide. Well, you may think you don't have anything to hide, but how do you know, like, one of your kids' sleazy teenage buddies, like, dropped something in your car?
Absolutely.
Or something. You'd have no idea unless you personally have searched your vehicle before the police.
Right.
Then you don't know what's in there. You should never. If you don't have to, you don't consent to search, just as a policy.
Now, here's what they do. I don't know if you've probably never been involved in a situation like this. If you say, no, I don't want to let you look at my car, then they're like, okay, well, we're going to get the K-9 unit down here.
Yeah, and then the K-9 unit, you can just.
And then I don't even know whatever. I've watched cops. I've had this happen to me. The dog just walks around the car and they're like, well, he alerted. You're like, well, how did he alert? And they're like, well, we get to go in your car now. The dog alerted. And you're like, all I saw him do is wag his tail. Yeah, well, that's how he alerts. And you're like, come on, man.
Wait, he's alerting your car.
Yeah, right. Come on, man. I can fake this dog out with a tennis ball right now and we're depending on it. You know? Like, come on. Yeah. And then they'll go through your car. Yeah. And, you know, look, fortunately for me, I don't have anything in there, which is fine.
And then they don't find anything, and that makes them mad.
Yeah, then they don't really.
Then they're mad.
Then they're writing you up for tag lights being out and cracked windshields and all kind of crazy stuff you didn't even know was against the law. Yeah, and that's just how it goes. That's your government at work right there. They're not your friends. I back the blue. I'm on the record. I back the blue, but I clearly know we're on opposite sides here. Their job is to find people to get into trouble.
Yeah.
As long with help. Now, cops do a lot of good in the world.
I was about to say, their job is to solve crimes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cops who see their job is more to close cases. Right.
Yes.
Maybe not solve them, but really, what we really want is them closed.
Yeah, we just want to get them out of here. Yeah. So, just... to my advice to these people that stole the cell or the AM tower, don't talk to the police. Never.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Jasper is probably small enough that they'll figure out who did it for too long.
Right.
You know, and then put them in jail where they'll end up dying. And they're like they do in a Walker County jail every week, apparently. That dude froze to death over there. You remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I hadn't heard anything else after about the first couple of weeks. People were protesting at the courthouse, and then it just went away. I guess he froze to death. It's just the way it is over here.
It's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, John, let's talk about this one guy. You know what a Ronin is, right? A samurai without a master.
Okay, I did not know that was the definition of that.
Yes.
A Ronin?
What do they call them? Like the he didn't have a lord. A few.
He's self-taught.
No. Like a lot of times, his lord or whatever got taken out by another guy.
So
now he's a Ronin. He don't have a master to serve anymore.
Okay. Yeah. So he's just out doing his own thing.
Right. Or looking for somebody else to serve, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe he's between feudal lords at the moment. Screaming man swings samurai sword around in Vancouver traffic and a Walmart was evacuated.
Whoa, no, wait. He was swinging a sword around in traffic. Yeah. This is in Vancouver?
In Vancouver.
I mean, this
was
one of
the Canadian samurai. Yeah,
this wouldn't even make the news in Alabama.
It's like, that happens every day.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't see a guy with a sword at Walmart, something's wrong.
Doggone it. It went away. Oh, here we go. A man was arrested in southeast Vancouver after walking through traffic swinging a samurai sword and screaming, says the Vancouver Police Department. On February 4th, multiple 911 callers reported a man armed with a samurai sword was walking in traffic at the 400 block of Southeast 192nd Avenue. Stop by, say hi. Police say that the man continued toward a Walmart parking lot and was screaming and threatening to hurt people. The man entered Walmart just before police arrived. Officers immediately began evacuating the Walmart and quickly located the man. Police say, I wonder where he was. You think he was in the sporting goods section?
Probably.
Police say the suspect then surrendered. There were no injuries during the incident. Aside from the samurai sword, the suspect also had a 5-inch knife in his pocket.
Oh, a 5-inch knife. So, whoa.
He's got the sword.
Yeah.
That's just.
A 5-inch knife ain't that big a deal. Are they talking about just the blade?
I think they're talking about just. They got a picture of it here.
Okay.
It looks kind of fancy.
Yeah. But, I mean,
you could hurt somebody with it. Yeah. You could hurt somebody with it, but. So, I don't know what this guy's deal was, but imagine you're just in Walmart. You're there to take advantage of Walmart's low prices.
That's right.
They're everyday low prices.
Every day.
And then this dude comes in with a samurai sword.
Well, he'd get shot down here, probably. real quick, by one of hundreds of patrons that are armed.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't go messing with a... with the vibe at Walmart.
Your Iron Monkey style has no power here.
Really like that Raiders of the Lost Ark scene.
Yes.
Shoots him.
I don't know if this is true because I wasn't on set, but I've read online that was supposed to be like this big, huge choreographed fight scene.
Oh, yeah?
But Harrison Ford was actually sick the day they were supposed to film it. And he got to talking with George Lucas, and they're like, hey, doesn't Indiana Jones have like a little Webley revolver? Why don't he just shoot him? Why don't he do that? And then they were kind of like, that is kind of funny.
It was funny. It's a funny scene.
It's a great scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't bring a sword to a gunfight. I wonder what the Canadian Walmart experience is like.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like a typical United States Walmart experience.
The story we just read, it sounds a lot like the Southern United States Walmart experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I would imagine there are some very shocked people there.
Yeah.
Like here, we'd probably just be like, that's just some dude waving around a sword. I need to get my loaf of bread, my gallon of milk, and get on out of here through the self-checkout.
Could you slice this ham for me while we're at it? I've been waiting for 15 minutes. It's like the little kid's not coming to the deli meat counter.
They paged him. He's not coming. They paged him three times.
He's down coming. The street at the Crystal on his 30-minute break.
Right. He's over in the Walmart McDonald's. He's not coming. Is there still a McDonald's in the Walmart in North Fort? I was in there not long ago, but I don't remember.
So.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame.
Are you talking about the one on the North Fort one?
Yeah, right across from my office.
I worked there a couple of decades ago, and there wasn't any kind of fast food establishment. There is a Subway in the Skyland one now.
Oh, fancy.
I know that because I went to Sam's to get some new tires put on the truck. And I walked next door and sat in the Subway and played my Steam Deck for 3.5 hours while these guys did the slowest possible tire change that they could do.
Deidre and I went to Sam's and grocery shopping on Saturday. You want to guess how much we spent between
$400.
Both places, between Winn-Dixie and Sam's? $532.
Golly.
Yeah. Now, we got food for a long time, but
still.
Yeah. That's it crazy. It hurt bad.
Oh, yeah.
What hurt bad is after we spent, you know, like $250 at Sam's, we were like, well, we still need to go to the grocery store.
Are you, let me ask you, you and Deidre, y'all Walmart people?
No, well, for regular grocery shopping, I go to Winn-Dixie.
Okay.
I normally do the grocery shopping for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of men hunt animals for their food. I just go to the grocery store for mine.
If these prices keep going up, that may have to change. Yeah, man,
start hunting all the neighborhood dogs. You better keep an eye on Beckham. Yeah. That's what I will occasionally go to Walmart. I used to go to Walmart back when I had Roly Poly because I would shop like after I got everything done at night, and I would go there in the middle of the night and do grocery shopping because it was the only place that was really open.
Right.
But we more often than not go to Winn-Dixie. Now, if we need like a gallon of milk, we run over to Publix, but I don't generally do a lot of shopping at Publix.
Yeah, we'll do that too if we need just like a few things here or there. But
Publix is just too expensive.
Me and Tara, we had to have a heart to heart.
Yeah.
Like, look, I know I was raised white trash and you feel like you're too good for Walmart, but you're just going to have to put that aside. And if I have to go do the Walmart pickup because you're too good to sit there while some teenager with tattoos up and down his arms and puts the bags in the back of the van, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But we can't be we can't be shopping at Publix.
I don't like grocery pickup at all. Deidre did the Walmart pickup thing and made me do one time. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I can't do this. You know, I can't make this happen. So
I love it.
I feel like a feudal lord when, you know, like I'm standing there watching somebody put something in my car.
Yeah.
Like, I want to help you. Let me do this. Yeah.
Dude, you just sit there.
Are you just going to allow unfettered access to your vehicle? That's how you end up with drugs in there when the cops shop. That's a good point. Stopping you.
Thanks. Now I'm paranoid. Yeah. I can't do that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I thought you'd just sit there in your truck, you know, listening to your music.
Yeah.
And when the little 17-year-old kid comes up and taps on the window, you turn the music down slightly and you crack the window and you tell him, hey, back.
And put it in the back.
Except for bread and eggs. I want those up front. And then you roll the window back up and you turn your music back up.
Like, do you tip them?
No.
Of course you don't. I tip the one I've done. I tip the guy. I got a $5 bill in my pocket. I was like, hey, man, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, and he thought it was great.
Man.
And actually, I think it was a lady. It was a lady. She was a manly lady, but it was a lady nonetheless. And
yeah, I've never tipped her.
It's like, hey, you're bringing my groceries out here. I've had to do nothing. Check in on an app. I had to download an app to do all this too. I want to go in. And the reason I really like Winn-Dixie is it feels more like a regular grocery store to me.
Right.
Like, Publix is, it feels too high class for me. Like, I'm in there and I'm like, I'm in the wrong income bracket to be in the store. You know, I need to see people in flip-flops and stuff shopping. So that's why I go to Winn-Dixie. Walmart's just too much. There's just too many people. Every time I go in there, it's just
that's why you don't go in. That's why you let the dumpy teenager put the groceries in your car.
I can't do it. I don't know. I have an objection to that. Huh. I don't like it. Now, I know, I think it was Winn-Dixie used to. That's how they used to do all grocery stores, you know, like in the 40s and all that. And I think Winn-Dixie was the first like grocery store, at least in the South, where you could go in and shop for on your own. You used to just call your order in. They'd get together. You paid. They brought it out to you. So, yeah, I'm with Winn-Dixie. Although Aldi bought Winn-Dixie.
They did.
Yeah.
We used to shop at Aldi a pretty good bit. But
I've never shopped at Aldi a lot.
There was a time they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And maybe they still are, but it got to the point where the savings really weren't there anymore. And we were like, well, we're coming here and boxing up our own stuff like we're at Sam's or something.
Right.
And we're spending just as much as we would at Walmart.
I went to
they'll
Aldi.
Bring it out to you. So
Dean and I went to that Aldi behind Texas Roadhouse one time. We didn't know that you had to have a quarter for your buggy.
You get it back.
A lady gave us her buggy when in the parking lot. She's like, hey, here you go. And we were just like, okay, great. You know, you didn't want to push it back up front. Well, then we didn't know they had didn't have bags or anything. So the lady's like checking us out. And I'm just standing there like, I'll help bag this. I love bagging my own groceries. She's like, we don't have bags. And I was like, well.
They'll sell you bags.
Yeah. She's yeah, like, hey, we got these bags for like $2. And I was like, just put it all in the buggy. Just put it all in the buggy. Yeah. And then I got a quarterback and I turned the buggy in, but I was like, I don't like this. We got home food all falling out of the back of the car. A can of beans roll up under the seat. I had to get it. Yeah. I didn't enjoy the Aldi experience.
We would use our own. We would take our own like reusable bags.
Yeah.
And we did that for a long time.
But I'll then, take like a sleeve of Winn-Dixie bags in there.
It got to the point where it was just as much. And so we're like, we're Walmart pickup people.
I just don't like the pickup. I don't like drive-thrus. I don't like going through drive-thrus. I like to go inside places. That's mm-hmm. my thing. You know, I like to have weird interactions with other humans. I don't know why. I've just always been that way. So I won't go through the drive-thru at the bank, like for work. I always mm-hmm. go inside. And one day the lady was like, you know, you would probably be a lot faster to just go through the drive-thru because the branch we use isn't really ever backed up. And I was like, but I like coming inside. And I think
that's what she said.
Yeah. Sounds dirty, but it's not. And now I think now I don't know if she thinks this is just what I think. I think she thinks I have like a crush on her or something.
Well, I mean, you did just tell her that you like coming inside.
That's true.
You gave her the look.
I didn't give her a look. I just like to get out and come inside. You know, it's just better for me.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know.
I like to go in and then get out and then go back in and get out.
Deidre, the number one thing that will make me divorce my wife is she calls on the way home sometimes and is like, hey, run through the drive-thru and get everybody some food. I hate it. It drives me nuts.
Wow. And
because I have to order for like 5 people and then manage all that stuff and get it. And I'm already like on my way home from work in like, I'm ready to get home and chill out mood. And now I got to add another 20 minutes to my day. Drives me up the wall.
Well, you're going to hate this, but it would make your life easier if you would just get the app.
I'm not getting an app.
Do the order beforehand so that all you got to do is pick it up.
Not getting an app.
Just do it the hard way. John. I will. Just do it the hard way.
I will. I'll park and go in. Say I won't. I do occasionally, because she'll be like, can you pick up Zaxby's on the way home? That's right across an office.
Uh-huh.
I'll place the order online. And then I'll go in and pick it up. And they're always like, can you manage all these drinks? I'm like, lady, do you know how much food I've delivered in my life? This is nothing. This is nothing.
Yeah.
They're always very impressed how I manage all that and get out. I won't spill anything. I can tell, you know, they're impressed. All right. Let's talk about something else that drives me up the wall.
Okay.
Woman returns Costco couch after 2 years. Test the limits of the return policy. I just didn't like it anymore.
Did it work?
Well, I haven't read the article on the headline.
They wrote it, so yeah. I'm assuming this isn't a story where she tried to take it back and they're like, no.
Well, look, yeah. I'm staunchly pro-life, and so much so that I don't believe in the death penalty, but I would recommend it for this lady. A Costco shopper tested the limits of the retail club's return policy by bringing back a 3.5-year-old sofa simply because she stopped liking it.
Hmm.
This is why they're going to change their policy, is because this lady.
It's because of this lady.
First of all, don't buy your furniture at Costco. What are you? Next thing you know, you're going to be buying it from a secondhand charity like S.D. Allen.
Who are you, Tiny?
Yeah. I just didn't like it anymore. We just don't like the color anymore, the shopper Jackie Gwynn said in a TikTok video that's been viewed nearly 3 million times since she posted on January 23rd.
I would also like to point out that she says that we didn't like the color anymore, but I would bet you dollars to donuts that she doesn't like the color anymore. Her man is probably, he don't care.
He does not care at all. No man cares. If I could give one piece of advice to all the ladies listening, and let's face it, as hot as we are, it's probably a ton of them. Your man doesn't care about stuff like this. He doesn't care about what color the curtains are. He doesn't care about the rug that you think. He doesn't care.
And why do you want his opinion so bad?
Yeah.
Because you're going to disagree with it.
Right. The only thing you have to worry about is if he says, I don't like that. If he's like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want to do. You know, that's all. That's the way it is. You know, now if you bring in a rug with Taylor Swift on it or whatever, he may be like, I don't like that. She explained that she did not have the original receipt, but recalled the date on which she had originally purchased the couch. That allowed a Costco retail clerk to process the transaction and issue a full refund to Gwen. I told her the date I bought it. She looked it up in the computer, told me exactly which one it was. That was it. She asked me if there's anything wrong with it, and I said I just didn't like it anymore. They gave us a full refund to his card, so yeah, it worked.
Good on Costco.
Pleased with her experience, Gwen has encouraged her followers to also purchase their furniture from the members-only store. Buy your furniture from Costco, girl. You can return it when you don't like it anymore, she said. Costco does indeed have a generous return policy, according to its website. We guarantee your satisfaction on every product we sell, and we will refund your purchase price, the company states. It lists exceptions on products including electronics, diamonds, and alcohol, and cigarettes, but does not indicate a time frame within by which shoppers must bring their goods back. Bet you that's going to change. Costco did not immediately reply to CBS Money Watch's request for comment on its apparent unlimited returns window. In a subsequent post on TikTok, Gwen indicated she first asked a Costco retail clerk if the company would accept her return before hauling her sofa back to the warehouse. Other retailers with formerly generous return policies have revised them to prevent customers from taking advantage and returning worn-out goods just because they could. Maine-based outdoor specialty retailer L.L. Bean, for example, once allowed its customers to return destroyed goods years after they were first purchased. It has now imposes a one-year limit on most returns to combat abuse and fraud. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are like this lady and do this stuff and cost your company money. And this drives me up the wall. Costco trying to be a good company. Everybody likes to talk about how bad and evil companies are. Had a very liberal policy because they expected everyone to be a decent human being.
Mm-hmm.
And they never envisioned 3.5 years later, you're going to return a sofa because you don't like it. Not because there was a defect, not because it was broken, anything like that. Just because you don't like it. And now they've had to come out of pocket and give you money. Which surely they just said store credit, right? She said he put it on his card. Maybe it's on his Costco card.
I guess so.
Yeah, like, look, you spent $3.99. I can't imagine they got great sofas at Costco.
So maybe they still lost money.
Yeah.
But seeing as that they have to spend that refund at Costco, at the store, yeah, they don't lose as much.
If they didn't do that, they're going to start doing that now too.
Right.
You know, maybe they'll say, well, we're not changing our policy, but after 6 months, it's store credit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be reasonable to me. Yeah. I mean, sorry, people ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
They really do. They ruin it for everybody. And I'm sure she just did this to get some TikTok clout, just to see if she could.
Well, I'm sure Costco loves her telling everybody,
yeah,
hey, you just bring back your stuff when you don't like it anymore. Oh, yeah.
I bet you this policy on their website gets updated pretty quickly. they're probably already working out the logistics of it, figuring out, you know, what wording to put on there and everything else, because that's ridiculous. We have a 3-day return policy at Spiller Furniture. Probably because of this reason. That's what it's been since I've been there.
Right.
Now, we do allow our managers to use some discretion within that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is, yeah. I mean, well, you, if somebody buys a mattress, you don't want to be taking it back after too long. People done been doing stuff on it they shouldn't do. Yeah.
Or maybe even sometimes stuff that they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
It's still, you still may not like it.
Yeah, you don't want it
back. You still don't want to sleep on it after them.
Yeah. Oh, but we don't have a lot of mattress returns because we sell good quality mattresses. So you would never know, but we do. Yeah. I got our new mattress is amazing, by the way. Love it.
Nice.
Yeah. Come on down and check it out. I mean, not my personal one. I don't want you laying in my bed. You should come down to the store and check them out. And it's a Pikes made by Sutherland Mattress. So come on down. Made in Nashville, Tennessee. We want to thank our sponsor, world famous Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice, for their support. Check them out at CajunCurl.com. You can order the spice right there on the website. I made red beans and rice tonight. I used Cajun Curl. It was great. Red beans and rice are becoming a staple at the Long household. Really, me and Hudson are the only people who like it. But
I love red beans and rice.
Yeah.
And it's probably gone up now, but it used to be a dollar.
Yeah, it's cheap. You
get a box of it for a dollar.
Now, I put sausage in mine.
But still,
yeah.
I mean, still, it was a delicious staple.
Yeah.
Little hot sauce.
Yeah,
maybe put a little ham in there. A
little Cajun Curl.
It was delicious.
It's great.
And yeah. And any time I find something that I like, Tara has to tell me about how bad it is for me.
Oh man, I don't even worry about any of that. I'm not trying to live forever. It was created on the Elm Bayou in Evangeline Parish, Louisiana, and it's a season that goes on everything. If you like cooking or eating, this is a spice for you. Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice goes well with chicken, beef, pork, potatoes, red beans and rice, and anything else you can think of putting it on. Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice on anything will change your life. I heard they got a lifetime return policy, but no one's ever tried to return it because it's so good. That's a joke. They don't have that. Don't everybody start hitting squirrel up with a bunch of returns.
Well, I mean, who's going to return it anyway?
I know. It's great. No one is.
Yes.
On the website, CajunCurl.com, you can order the original Bayou Blended Spice, and you'll also find recipes that are absolutely mind-blowing. You can locate your nearest retailer or order your own. If your local grocer doesn't carry world-famous Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice, ask them to start stocking it now. All their products are made in the USA, so not only do you enjoy the taste of Cajun Curl, but you also feel patriotic while you enjoy your meal. It's all natural, low salt, has a little kick, but it doesn't burn your lips. World famous Cajun Curl Bayou Blended Spice. Taste the spice, but not the heat. Check them out at CajunCurl.com and use our promo code EOP10 to get a 10% discount.
Because we ask that you use the spice, but we don't ask you to pay full price.
That's right.
All right, let's head on over to some questions. We like to ask questions on the show. If you have any questions for us, you can check. You can go to our Discord server, link in the show notes, and post them in our questions subheading, but or you can just go to our website, that's earthoddy.net.
Yeah.
And you can submit them to us straight from there. We're going to start with our Discord questions, and they all come from Jane. Her first question is, what is an irrational fear of yours?
I do not like needles, getting shots. I mean, I'm serious business. I hate it. I always have. I don't know if that's rational or irrational,
right.
But that's a fear I have.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if I have any, like, I don't think I have any phobias of anything.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of snakes. That said, I have caught snakes. I have handled snakes.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. So.
Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. My stomach growling. I want some more red beans and rice.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm not a big fan of snakes.
Okay.
Okay. Question two, how do you like your coffee and how do your wives like their coffee?
I drink black coffee, just plain old black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Deidre drinks hers with creamer but I don't ever fix her coffee for her because I don't want her to get too uppity, you know. So I don't know how much creamer she takes. Sometimes she puts some whipped cream in it too, you know, just does it all up. But yeah, I just drink black coffee like a real man.
Tara, she drinks hers with creamer in it too. And I'd like that as well. But 2024, I've been on the whole milk and Splenda thing.
Okay.
So
what's the reasoning behind that?
Just trying to survive a little bit longer, I guess. Okay. I don't know. I got to pay off this house. I can't die before I'm 70.
It's fine. You got life insurance. It's fine. Yeah. Always have a life insurance that will pay off your house. Yeah. Double what it takes to pay off your house. That's what I was always told. Yeah.
Last question. When you arrive to your destination on a trip, do you unpack or take things out of your suitcase as needed?
Depends on how long we're staying there. Hmm. You know, if it's a few nights, I mainly live out of my suitcase if we're traveling because I've been camping so much, it ain't a big deal.
Way.
But like when we were in Hawaii for a week, I did unpack there. If I have stuff that's a little nicer, I will hang it up in a closet to get the wrinkles out of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't pack up anything and not pull it out with having a ton of wrinkles. So you can hang it up and let some of those fall out so you don't have to iron it. So, but in general, it depends on the length of stay.
Yeah, I personally, I'm a suitcase guy too.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm going to be somewhere for a while, I still typically just live out of the suitcase.
Yeah.
In fact, when we get back home, Tara, she's real good about unpacking everybody's stuff.
Oh, wow.
But before I was married, if I got back from a trip, I would continue to use stuff out of my suitcase. And eventually, all those clothes would make their way in the dirty clothes.
Right.
And then they would get laundered and hung back up in the closet.
Yeah.
But now, I stayed with the duffel bag even after I was home.
I'm not this is not an issue for me, but this would be an issue for Deidre. So while you were on your trip to Panama City or whatever, the dirty clothes that you wore, you packed back in with clean clothes and then came home, took those out, but they have already contaminated your clean clothes.
You put them in a trash bag.
Oh,
and you double
okay.
up. That's
you,
how I do it.
You trash bag it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just throw them all in there and wash everything when I get back home.
No, in fact, I'll get like a trash bag and all dirty clothes as I use them go in the trash bag.
Okay.
Which sometimes, depending on where you're staying, I mean, you may have a little bitty washing machine. So sometimes I'll wash stuff.
If you go to the beach in a condo.
Yeah, if I'm at like a condo or a cabin or something like that, I'll wash stuff.
Right.
But agreed. That is disgusting. Yeah. But you can bag those clothes. And sometimes I may not even put those back in with the duffel bag. I'll just pitch those in the back.
You don't know, like Santa Claus?
Yeah. And when you get back, like a homeless man, you take those... that bag of clothes and you dump them in the washing machine and then you just keep living out of the duffel bag.
Now, I am big on only taking the exact amount of clothes I need.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll take like one or two extra outfits
never.
In case.
Never.
You know, one of the kids vomits on me or something like that.
I live on the edge. If we're going for 5 days, I'm taking 5 sets of clothes. I don't take any extra underwear, any extra socks. I travel light, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, most of the time. Now, I think we were in Hawaii because I didn't know the eating situation every night. Like if we were going to go somewhere nice or we're going to go to In-N-Out Burger. I know I packed a couple extra shirts and shorts that I didn't wear just to be prepared. But if we're going to the beach for 5 days, I'm taking 5 sets of clothes, 2 swimsuits, and that's it. Maybe a beach towel.
Let's take it on over here to our website questions. First question comes from Anonymous. They say, who are your role models?
That's a tough one. I mean, probably my dad more than anybody and my mom too. You know, I never really had like idols, you know, like I didn't look up to Michael Jordan or anything, you know, like that wasn't my thing, but probably the two people who attempted to teach me to be a decent person would be my parents. And I most often would be like, what would my dad do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, I'll never be able to do that. He's much better person than me. So let me figure out my own way. So, yeah, I would say my parents. I mean, not ironically, I'm not saying that just because they listened, but I never looked up to, like, you know, who Cornelius Bennett or, or anybody, you know, Gary Hollingsworth or anybody like that. I was like, I want Jay Barker. I want to be like him, you know? So, yeah, I'd say my parents.
Yeah, same here. My dad. I mean, obviously, we're all going to, I mean, come on, every Christian is going to say Jesus.
Sure.
That's a given.
Man, I blew that one. God, man, I blew that one.
Yeah, probably as far as people that I've actually, you know, in my life, in a physical sense, probably my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there have been different people at different times of my life who have influenced me positively. Mm-hmm. You know, Mr. LaHaye, my scoutmaster, was one. You know, there have been peers along the way that I was like, well, this guy's got it together. I should be more like him. But overall, it's got to be my parents. They're great people. I mean, I'm very lucky to have the parents that I have. I would be dead otherwise. I'm surprised they didn't kill me, to be honest.
Next question. How do you think our generation is different from previous generations?
Well, I don't know what generation the question asker is.
Yeah, from, I was thinking the same thing.
But like my generation, I mean, I don't think as a people we're that different. I think people have been the same throughout history. Technology just changes. That's a, you know, belief that I hold. You know, we probably, you know, like my parents' generation probably had different ideals about life than we do. But, mm-hmm. you know, at our core, we're all just people. You know, we all have the same wants, needs, and desires that we've had for forever.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing or something similar. I think that the idea of like generational studies or whatever is, I don't know if I really buy it. I think it's kind of bunk. Well, because like you said, people have always been people, and people are all themselves individuals.
Right.
And yeah, like you said, like the times may change somewhat, but I mean, to arbitrarily draw a line and say from this year, from these years to these years,
yeah,
that's Gen whatever, and we think they're characterized by this.
Right.
I mean, people are individuals. Everyone's different. And I don't think that, like, I guess your generation too, like technically we're not in the same generation.
Yeah.
But I think if you know us, we're not really
that different.
We're not that different. And also, like, we remember the world before the internet.
Sure.
And we are just as addicted to technology as Gen Z is today.
There's probably some subtle differences, you know, like people my parents' age probably would prefer face-to-face interactions, you know, as opposed to going through an online portal and doing whatever.
Yeah, but that's because they didn't grow up with said online portal.
But those are like minor differences. Mm-hmm. That's what people focus on, you know, like boomers get mad because they got to use self-checkout or whatever, you know, but that's not what makes people, you know, the fact that we all want to have a place and a meaning and a purpose and love and all that. That's everybody's the same. You know,
people in the 50s, they had like a much more positive opinion of the government. Sure. Like Uncle Sam was the good guy. They were just coming off World War II. Yeah, we just won back-to-back World Wars.
They've been bombarded with propaganda for like 25 years.
And also out of nowhere, the quality of living was just through the roof.
Right.
So of course you're going to be happy with your standing.
Right. Yeah.
So.
But we probably are more cynical, but that's probably just a product of the world we grew up in, where everybody was cynical. You know, like you didn't question things from earlier generations as much because, like you say, life was good. And then at some point you sit around and go, this kind of sucks a little bit.
Well, also, I mean, back in the 50s, there was like, you know, there was like, what, one TV channel?
Yeah, right.
And the government had a big big say in what's going to be on this TV or not. Right. So we grow up in an era where anybody can say anything.
Yeah.
And we,
that may or may not be a good thing too, by the way.
There's a lot of bad stuff about it.
Sure.
But I think there's some good stuff too, because
absolutely,
you look around and you're like, hey, you know what? It's there's a lot of people are corrupt.
Yes. You know? Right. Yes. People are just bad.
Yeah. People are terrible.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like an entire religious system was built around that.
Our next question. Ooh, what's your favorite thing about Tiny?
Okay, this is a good question. I honestly, look, I mean, I don't want to cry or anything, you know, or make you cry. I admire your, what's the best way to put it? You stick to your morals, you know, and that's good, because I feel like me personally, and I'm very critical of myself, I have a sliding scale of morals. Some things are very important to me. I will never break those. There are other things down on the list where I'm like, yeah, there's probably some leeway here. And I don't get that sense that you do that. And I respect that. I wish I could do that. I don't have the self-control to do that. Hmm. You know, also, I mean, you love your family, you provide for your family, and you keep a positive attitude for the most part. You rarely ever say anything negative. You know, like, I'm negative Nancy all the time. I'll talk about people. You're a much better person than I am. So, yeah.
Well, thank you.
I like all of that.
I had no idea. I've always thought of myself as kind of the horrible person trying not to be horrible.
Well,
if that makes sense.
That's good. It's better than embracing it like me.
The question was about me, but I will say that I've always...
Oh, don't make me cry.
Well, honestly, one thing that I've always appreciated about you and like this friendship we have where we discuss things, I've always looked at you as kind of an independent thinker.
Yeah.
You're not going to go along with the crowd. You're always going to offer your own take on whatever it is. And I really appreciate that, because I feel like, at least in my circle of friends, and certainly growing up in, you know, Baptist churches, you know, I feel like a lot of people just kind of look to their preacher about what they're supposed to think about stuff. And that's not always a bad thing.
No.
Certainly not when you're growing up in like a secular culture as ours. But I do kind of look down on that when someone like Donald Trump comes along and we're going to... Okay, it's one thing to like his policies and think that he was an effective president. It's another thing to say that he's a good person, that he's a righteous person chosen by God to lead this God-fearing nation. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it was predestined from before time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A lot of that's just me being a contrarian more than anything.
Well,
because I don't hold many core beliefs. So I love challenging views. I love challenging my own views too. So,
I will say that, and I'm not going to name names, but there was a situation several years back where a certain person was doing a certain something, and my wife and my wife's family thought that the other person was in the wrong.
Yeah.
And I actually took a step back and I was like, based on the knowledge that I have, that guy's made mistakes, or that person's made mistakes, but I don't think I think the other person's more in the wrong.
Yeah.
And then more stuff came out and lo and behold, I was right.
Yeah.
And it felt so good to look at my wife and say, you know what? This is why sometimes you just need to reserve judgment.
Sure.
Until all the facts come out.
Right. I agree with that. I'm as one who rushes to judgment all the time. I agree. I should probably be better at that too. Yeah. Yeah. But the most of my beliefs are, I don't hold a strong enough opinion on that. I just won't argue the other side for fun.
Right. You know? I think that's a good way to be.
Yeah.
Because again, like there's too many people in the world, and certainly in this country that we're in, they just, hey, red team thinks this.
Yeah.
So that's what I believe.
Right.
or blue team thinks this, and that's what I'm going to go with. And it's ridiculous. And honestly, it kind of bothers me. And maybe it's like cultural or whatever, but people are so tribal.
Oh, yeah.
And they hold on to that.
Yeah.
With, like you said, I mean, politics these days are team sports.
Absolutely.
And I love team sports, but I also realize that it's just a sport.
Right. Yes. You know? Well, I've said it before, and I believe this. The only correct political opinion to have is to hate whoever is in power. Right. You know, like, regardless of party affiliation.
Yeah.
Like, when Trump was in office, I complained about him. Now he's out of office, I complain about Biden. I have no allegiance to either one of them, other than Trump makes me laugh. But Biden's kind of funny, too, you know?
He's funny without trying to be.
Yeah.
Like, Trump is a legit entertainer. But he comes from reality TV.
Yes, right. But Biden, he's kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all the tripping and falling stuff, that's pretty amazing. The fact that he gets all his words mixed up because he's clearly got cognitive problems.
Right.
That's pretty funny. I laugh at him. Yes.
It's funny, and it's also funny to see the other side pretend like that's not happening.
Right, yes.
He meant to say,
But those are the same people that were like, Trump's a good person.
Absolutely.
Every time Trump said something stupid, they were like rushed to be like, no, what he really meant was he didn't really mean he could shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and still get elected.
He didn't really want to nuke hurricanes.
Yeah, right.
Which, while we're on the subject, have we never tried it?
I mean, I'm down to try
hypothetically,
it.
Hypothetically, what would happen?
Probably just radioactive whatever particles get spread across the southeastern United States. What's the worst that could happen? Yeah.
I mean, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they're
doing fine,
they're doing
aren't they?
Fine these days.
Yeah. We got to build back better. I saw a meme, and it was something like, you'll need new, you know, like, how do you think you and your AR-15 is going to go against the government with their nuclear weapons? And it was like, little do you know, I found one of the 9 they've lost. Yeah.
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 Also, I mean, anytime I hear that argument, I immediately think, yeah, because that worked so well for us in Afghanistan.
Yeah, right. I know. Those dudes gave us what for?
Just because you have superior firepower
doesn't
mean you're going to win, because all the other side has to do is outlast you.
Well, look, I don't side with the terrorists. Everybody knows I'm a patriot, but you got to respect the Afghani people. Right. They fought forever against Russia, took a little break, and then fought for 20 years against us. Both superpowers in the world were just like, we're done.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. No, it's done. You can't beat those people. I respect them.
Unless you move there.
Yeah.
And have a permanent presence.
Yeah,
you can't. You can't
and even
beat
then, this is going to be guerrilla war for your entire time.
Right. Yeah,
they're going to inflict casualties. They're never going to subdue.
It's not like
I respect your spirit.
It's not like they wear a uniform.
No. That makes it real difficult. Yeah, it makes it real difficult.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, last question. This one's for me, Tiny. Are there ever situations where you'd rather not be so tall?
Mm.
And I will say that, yes, I have hit my head many times on the occasional low-hanging light or the occasional, like, low ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's even one time I walked into a ceiling fan.
There you go.
And that wasn't fun, but I still like being tall, because for whatever reason, and it's cross-cultural, when you're tall, that's like +5 respect.
Oh, yeah.
Like on a D&D sheet, you know?
Definitely.
So I like being tall, and yeah, there's not many situations where I'd rather not be so tall. Obviously, I'm never going to be, even if I'm rich, you're not going to see me in a sports car.
True. You have to be in like a big SUV.
Yes. Yeah. But you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. That's a small trade-off for a
small
lifetime
trade-off
of being
for a
tall.
Lifetime of people calling me sir.
Yeah, of being able to see at every concert you've ever been to.
Yeah.
Every sporting event. Yeah, it's great.
And everyone's always, hey, could you reach that top shelf? Reach that up there for me.
Yeah. I never get asked that. My roommate in college, shout out Mason, is 6'4".
Wow.
And so every concert we ever went to, he was like our beacon, you know, like our lighthouse. Yeah. We would all go, you know, like, hey, go, I'm going to get a beer, or I got to go pee or whatever. And you could find him in general admission. You just see him towering above everyone. So there's advantages to being tall.
All right, John, as this free show draws to a close, we need to thank our patrons. Seriously, guys, thank you so much for supporting our show, for listening to us, and for donating to our Patreon. So, yeah, we would like to thank by name those who donate at the 10 or above tier, and those people are Mr. Shiny Disco Balls, Mr. Shane White, Mr. Chris Payne, The Driver, Ms. Jane Updegraff, Ms. Sherry Heron, Ms. Sharon Craig, Mr. Tyler Bond, Mr. Todd Glover, Mr. Derek Reeves, Ms. Nicole Walter, and Mr. Mike Wilcox, a.k.a.
McWill.
Man, thank you guys so much. If you would like to become a patron, you can head on over to patreon.com/earthoddity. We have a few tiers, but the $5 tier gets you the extended show. That's another show that we do after this one. And speaking of extensions, what do we got coming up the extension today?
We are going to talk about a mom who caught her son looking at pornographic material.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I am going to talk about RFK.
Okay.
Apparently his Twitter account, his TikTok account, was engaging with an OnlyFans model's TikTok account.
Huh.
And he says it was a staffer.
So oh, of course it was.
It was a staffer.
If you know what I mean.
You got anything else?
No, that's it.
Well, you've been listening to Earth Oddity Podcast, and we thank you so much for listening to us. No matter where you get us, whether you get us from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, we're on them all. If you would like to write into the show, we are earthoddity@planetmail.net, or you can check out our website, that's earthoddity.net, and you can submit stuff to us straight from there. If you would like to tweet at us on X, we are @_EarthOddity on X. We have some show art posted on Instagram. You can check that out, _EarthOddity on Instagram. And we have a phone number that you can call or text. What's that phone number?
That's 662-493-2059. 662-493-2059. Call us. Nobody's called in a while.
It's been a while. Also, we have a Discord server, link in the show notes.
Look, can somebody reach out to Jacqueline and see what we did?
She did wish me happy birthday. So
okay.
She still follows us on social.
Good, yes. Yeah, I see her. I interact with her on Facebook. I could ask her, but I will never humble myself to do so.
We hope everybody out there has an excellent week. Earth Oddity for the Fringe Radio Network, signing off.
Love y'all.
Bye.
This has been a Very Odd production. Thanks for listening.
Okay, patrons, what's up? We're here in the patron show.
Yes. So, all the freeloaders.
They're gone.
They're doing their own thing.
That's right. Cheap. They're cheap. All the poors are away. They're at Dollar General right now, and we're at Walmart.
They're on a jog right now, and they're listening to Spotify music like a bunch of suckers.
Yeah. Losers. Losers. Yeah.